Last week I talked about the overall ministry and the purpose of it, certainly some of the essentials. And I went on to talk about the value of thinking for oneself, feeling feelings, and acting in harmony with our highest view of ourselves. And finally, the responsibility and the right to grow our relationship with our Creator. Those four areas, to me, really are the funnest game in town and perhaps fundamental to almost everybody's sense of what they want their lives to be. So last week, I talked about the value of thinking for oneself instead of swallowing somebody else's pre-digested or regurgitated thinking, that they've eliminated all the facts and condensed it down according to their own agendas, and then they serve it as if it's a complete diet of information. And oftentimes it doesn't serve us. You can look at the 6 o'clock news and recognize that a lot of that stuff is agendized. The idea that if we don't think for ourselves, we are thinking somebody else's thoughts. They've thought for us. And that really is a denial of what we're all about. So when you see children playing with video games, one of the great dangers, according to some people, is the fact that it takes this creative energy of a child's imagination and condense it down to a certain small framework in which they have to follow certain rules with buttons in order to be successful at that game. But those buttons, that strategy, all those tactics that are programmed in there really represent the thinking of somebody else. And so by subjecting themselves to a maze or a mold created by somebody else, these immensely powerful creative thinking children get boxed down, boxed down, boxed down, and they narrow their own sense of awareness of what they are, what they could be, and so on. The second thing that on that list of essentials is feeling our feelings. This is an area that, even though it is so fundamental to life and so important, and it contributes to so much joy in life as well as so much pain in life, but we get virtually no training or experience understanding what emotions are, what our feelings are, and what they indicate, what they mean, and so that we can develop a sense of cause and effect. If this, then I'll produce this emotion. If I think this way, I'll produce this emotion. If I have this emotion, I'm apt to act in a certain way. So this thought leads to this emotion, leads to this type of behavior. And as we develop that awareness, what it does for us is it gives us a new level of freedom, because we now know how we cause, we know how to be effective based upon what our goals happen to be that we would establish for ourselves individually. Then we would be free to act in harmony with those goals. The trouble with it, though, from a financial standpoint, is the economic playing field in the United States and perhaps Western culture as a whole has been based on consumerism. So if you take back the power of your ability to think and to feel your feelings and notice what thinking is connected to what feeling, you will be in control of yourself, and you are apt to be able to resist the thrusts of consumerism, in which you are sold on the philosophy that if you want to be happy, you have to look outside yourself, acquire and consume an outside object, either a concept or a book or a medication or some thing is held up external to you that is the desired object, and then we accept that and we start taking steps trying to acquire and consume, all the time realizing it doesn't actually lead to happiness. And so in a case like that, what would we do? We would acquire and consume more. And now that we're fully on the treadmill of consumerism, lots of people are selling us unnecessary things for unreasonable prices of dubious quality. And just because they want this energy called money, and this is how they participate in it, that's okay. It's part of the economic system. But instead of consume, we could use a different model, and that model would be to develop. If we spent money on self-development, learning how to feel our feelings, learning how to think, learning what the relationship between thinking and emotions are, then we would be in a whole different place in an effort to create what it is we want to create in our lives. We would need, in order to feel our feelings, to redefine what feelings are, what they mean, how they're valuable, how they've been misinterpreted or misrepresented, and so on. As we develop this increased awareness of them, the identity, if you will, of emotions, then we could recognize that they do have purposes, they do have uses, and if we knew more about them, then we could use them as if they were tools, which they are, for our highest benefit. But again, if we know how to do this, other people can't push our buttons and pull our strings as effectively for their marketing. So the more aware we are, the more we will think for ourselves and feel for ourselves, and we're less controllable by somebody who is seeking control over us. If we have seen or been taught, and in this culture it's pretty easy to have both of these ideas transmitted to us frequently, is that emotions are represented as weaknesses. If you feel a feeling, that is a sign of weakness. Now, in a macho-oriented culture, that may, in fact, be an outright training point, as philosophies are expressed in that culture. On the other hand, if we are told that emotions only belong to girls and not to boys, and that's one of the differences between us, and depending on who you are, you would say your point of view, that is having no feelings, is a safer, better, more pro-survival stance to be in. However, it may be pro-survival in survivor-type situations in which pure survival against the elements is the name of the game. But if you're in a situation where that survival condition is not teetering in the balance, you could actually look down the road and recognize that you are dealing on a higher level. This is not about surviving. This is about something else. And it is to elevate it above the physical is really a fantastic thought process. And feelings help us to do that. They guide us in order to elevate the conversation that we have with ourselves. Feelings are similar to antennae. If you can imagine somebody who has no feelings, their antennae, their ability to receive information would be so limited, we would think they're either dead or in a coma. So now, if you want to have more feelings, you would have more antennae. And being sensitive, being able to feel, being able to sense is not a weakness, but in fact an information survival strength. The person who can hear a threat sooner than the person who cannot, one of those two is going to be more vulnerable to extinction. And this ability to connect to other people, which is on a higher level what we would be seeking to do, is to feel what they feel. That is compassion, and to be able to have empathy for somebody else puts us in a situation where we have strengthened ourselves because of our multiple connections. A person flying through the air is vulnerable because they have no connections. Standing on earth on their 2 feet, they have a greater connection and a greater sense of safety and confidence. So this ability to stay connected, to establish more connections, is survival strength. Feeling for oneself and feeling for another is, generally speaking, a great way to go. However, sometimes when we're talking about feelings, it is important to note that the possibility is we could be experiencing feelings that are not our own. they're not our own. And so let me just explore that idea. I use this imagery. There is cookie dough being rolled out onto the counter, and an invisible force picks up a cookie cutter and presses it into the cookie dough. And another cookie cutter with a different shape presses into another area of the cookie dough. And so there's two separate cookies, two separate shapes, distinct differences in appearance and structure and so on. Same process is repeated multiple times. Gives me a sense of why me and my six siblings were so different. We were different because the cookie cutter hit the dough at different times, and you could make a case that the cookie dough is the genetic components supplied by both parents, as well as their emotional states at the time of conception or just prior to, throughout that whole gestation and upon delivery of the baby. You could look at it as being that whole time, that whole process, is when the stamping is being done. It seems easy to realize or think that birth is such an impressive event, and we are impressionable. That information is impressed to us hormonally, energetically, auditorily, through kinesthetic, and perhaps even the changing of light as we're being born, going from darker to real dark to light, whatever that looks like. All of those sensory inputs could be the establishment, the delivery vehicle of certain concepts. Three birth-impressed concepts come to mind as the cookie cutter hit the dough. And in one case, a person was battling time his entire life, realizes that there may be a connection between that battle over time and his 7-week premature birth may have connected or established his relationship with time based upon people in the environment, mother, father, doctors, friends, whomever, talking about time when this baby is ahead of its time or didn't have enough time or it's not the time and so on. Another person talked about this idea of when he was describing his birth that he realized he didn't push hard enough. So he got the idea that the baby pushed, he didn't push hard enough. But you can realize that a baby in birth is not doing the pushing. The body is not strong enough, muscularly or skeletally speaking, to do any pushing. And that, in fact, is the role of the mother. And so that phrase could have been resonating or reverberating in the mother's mind or heart or hormones. It could have been spoken to her. She could have said it. The doctor could have mentioned it. Somebody could have spoken those words, and that was the impression created on this child. When he looked at that, not having pushed enough, he realized his entire life was lived according to the belief and rule that he didn't push hard enough. He bypassed promotions, increased responsibility, higher pay, additional training, because it would have required him to push harder. And his rule has already been established when he was imprinted with it, quite unknowingly, that he didn't push hard enough. Another person was born to a woman in a very long delivery. The person now, grown, is 6'2", so perhaps he was a large baby. But the labor was long and difficult. And because previously a child was lost in childbirth, the anxiety around this childbirth could easily have been higher. And so all of a sudden, this, what I imagine to be this confusion, this conflict of pushing and pain and discomfort and endangering the baby and hurting oneself, and should I push through the pain and discomfort? And so it was not pushed through for a long period of time. And that's what made it a very long and difficult labor. But if you were to think that this avoid discomfort and pain as the imprinting rule, regulation, life-living rule that gets stamped onto this child, that's an important thing to recognize. It wasn't the child's rule. It may have been the mother or the doctor's advice. And when we think of that, during our the labor of our birth and our birth process, and up till about 6 years old, according to Bruce Lipton, the molecular biologist, who says it takes us that long before we develop filters. Up to that time, we are so impressionable. We can have these energies put into us, stage right into our subconscious mind as programming. It's like a emotional or mental tattoo that changes the way we see things, we experience things, we feel things. It's a filter and a lens that can transform the way we spend the rest of our lives. Feeling feelings is to increase our flexibility. We do want to be flexible in terms of being able to be in the presence of lots of different energy flows. The less our tolerance for energy flows, the more we have to isolate and the more we have to resist. We will convert these energy flows into threats, which will automatically result in our difference in feelings. We will plummet down the emotional scale into the lower vibrations in an effort to become more solid. And if we need to, if we think we need to be more solid in order to resist these forces. But the only reason to resist these forces is if we turn those forces into threats. And the only reason to turn those images or forces into threats is if it serves us. And it only serves people who it serves. And the sooner we stop buying into other people telling us what to feel, what to be threatened by, we're going to be in a much better state. If we feel our feelings, it is as if we have senses, like super senses, that heretofore we were passing up. We were thinking these were not necessary in order to have them. We've made them bad, we've made them signs of weaknesses, we made them that they belong to the other gender. But when we take that power back, we are now utilizing a God-given source of intelligence, or a gateway to intelligence, really is more like it. It's a pathway to intelligence. And if you don't have that available, it's like giving up one of the most powerful of all senses, not really limited by distance. You know, sense of smell, sense of sight, sense of hearing are limited by distance, but feelings are not limited by distance. So they can really reach out far. And so if we've been impressed with a belief or a rule or a regulation or one of these defining emotional moments, as I call it, defemos, D-E-F-E-M-O, these defining emotional moments, that we can turn around, look at that, and retranslate it from a different point of view until it is an empowering event. Until we turn it into something valuable, like a pearl, diamond, or emerald, until we turn it into strength building, as we turn it into something that has been a key to our growth and awareness. And when we see it like that, we will no longer resist it. We would have allowed that energy in, accepted it, this E, energy in motion, we've accepted it, we allow that emotion to flow to us and through us, in which we translate it to this higher vibration, and then we express it in a higher way. And it is using this and translating it in our unique way and sending it on in a higher form is the name of the game. That makes us feel good, makes us feel effective, successful, and so on. We have that ability to be able to do that, take in this energy, and change our own view of ourselves. Even if we were told you are this and you thought I am this or we are this, we can let go of that. We can let go of that. We can say, okay, yep, and then be able to start transforming it. Because those conclusions, I am, you are, they are, he, she, it is, we are, all done in a different time and space and a different context at our most impressionable, which is our most vulnerable. And because we're vulnerable, we go into defense. We go into fear. And it is that sense of vulnerability that we can change until we're able to grasp a different, higher ideal of ourselves, this higher view in which we are confident, compassionate, and a bunch of other things, other characteristics that we've either seen displayed by other people or displayed in our educational religious upbringing. For instance, Jesus the Christ. I mean, he wasn't demonstrating this stuff as to prove he could do it and we couldn't. That never was the part of his ministry. His ministry was, I can do it and you can do it too. And this is why I'm doing it. Because this creative force that's been translated as God the Father, this creator force is working through me. I'm allowing it. I'm thinking for myself in alignment with these high ideals of being this way. I'm demonstrating these high ideals for you, and so that you'll be able to attune, you can become at one with, you can tune to this vibration because I've demonstrated it for you. And as we notice these higher vibration characteristics that we like, admire, as we put our attention on those kinds of vibrations, we attract more. It's as if we're planting the seeds of courageousness, of joy, of enthusiasm, of generosity, of compassion, of kindness, of fun. We're planting the seeds of those thoughts in the universal soil. What we reap is likely to be related in nature to what we've been planting. We will attract the energy that we're sending out. Instead of choosing low ideals of ourselves and others, which are marketed in an effort to produce fear, which results in a dumbing down and a lack of scrutiny and awareness and mindfulness, because the marketers, would have been able to trick the listening audience or the viewing audience to go into fear. They can get them into fear, perception of a threat. If they can buy into that vibration that there's a threat, then if there's a threat, fear is the immediate reaction to that. And so dumbed-downness is a symptom, and controllability and misdirection. And they can stampede the frightened beasts off the cliff or into a corral. Thinking for ourselves, feeling our feelings, and choosing our own highest view of ourselves are the first three of these four ideas that I'm enthused about. Next week, it'll be about our relationship with our Creator. I would like to end this service with a prayer. Creator, called Father God, Mother God, Christ, the source of all that is, we thank you for all of our gifts and all of our blessings, all of our experiences, and mostly our growing awareness of our relationship with you. Help us to grow in that area so we know more and more how we, on a high vibration level, can connect with you, and how, on a high vibration level, we can connect to others of your creation. Help us to know the courage and the fun and the joy of establishing these connections and flowing the highest energy of you that we can allow ourselves. Thank you. It is so. Amen.